are the Three Amigos bringing you comic culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College. And
we the third amigo.
The third amigo is...
Checky?
Sure.
You guys usually introduce me.
Sorry.
I never introduce myself.
Off to my left is Checky Feldstein, and he is our engineering producer extraordinaire.
And third amigo.
And third amigo, yes.
All right. So it's Wednesday, Chris. It's Wednesday all over the world.
All over the world.
Wednesday is new comic
I don't know if that's
day.
Necessarily true, because I'm sure in like half of the world it's
Chris,
not.
Right now, for our intents and purposes.
Yes.
All over the world. It's free comic. No, it's not free.
Free comic book.
Hey, I heard you got free comics. I heard it on the radio.
All you have to do is go to Big B Comics and ask for your free comic.
No, it's new comics all over the world at your local comic book shop.
Right.
And everybody listening all over the world. And our reach is broad.
Right.
Head into your local comic book shop today and check out all the comics that are hitting the stands this week. And we gather once a week, us three amigos, and talk about the world of comics, talk about things that are happening in the comic book culture.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? There's lots going on in comic culture and all kinds of fun things. But
and
you know
we're
what?
Here to talk about
and
it.
And we're here to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Before we start talking about industry news, of course, every week we talk about new comics that are appearing on the stand at your local news shop today. So let's have a quick sponsor for New This Week.
All right. So for New this week brought to you by Cosplay Cups, helping keep the goodies covered up so that people don't focus too much below the belt.
It's a good point. Yeah.
You know what I love? You know what? It came to me. That's a great sponsor. I don't know how you got them, Checky, but kudos to you.
When we were at Fan Expo, I hunted them down.
Right.
They had a little booth in the corner there.
Nice.
Yeah.
I always marvel at... after 6 years, our inability to put the first 2 minutes of radio content into some sort of cohesive, understandable format.
Anyone who knows you doesn't marvel over it. They know why.
You know
why.
What? Yeah. I think that's what people love about our show.
You think so?
Well, love or hate. It's one of the.
Hopefully they love something about the show.
I get those two confused all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to talk about New This Week. So on your local comic book newsstands, I got to talk very quickly. I only have a couple of New This Weeks this week.
Just a couple?
Just a couple. The first one is, I'm going to start with this one. So DC New 52 has,
yes.
They've got a whole Futures End story arc going on right now.
Mm.
And basically it's all about stuff that's happening in the future. So in each of these different books, they're all one shots.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all got these sort of... hologrammy 3D lenticular covers, right? And they're very good looking books. I got to say that. Excellently looking books. They are a little bit more expensive. Like the one I'm holding right now it's a $4 price tag for the American price.
Mm.
So I don't know what that equals to in today's Canadian market.
Right. I think all comic shops are selling them at US cover.
Are they?
I don't think there's a comic shop in the country, and I could be wrong, that is putting an exchange on their comics.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
In Canada, anyway.
All right. I read the Suicide Squad comic, and it was pretty dismal. It was pretty bleak. Like, it was a good book. But
Suicide Squad might... The name might give that
away.
Well,
you know what? I wasn't thinking that way. But it was sort of an interesting take. It looked like there was weird things going on. Like, so it had Deadshot was in it. Now, Deadshot, by the way, is a recurring character on Arrow as well. So some people who might know who Deadshot is from the Arrow TV show. Deadshot's in it. Harley Quinn is in this book. Harley Quinn looks like – do you remember that female wrestler Chyna?
Oh, yeah.
She kind of looks like that because all of a sudden Harley Quinn's been pumped up full of steroids. She looks
nice.
Like Bane. Like she was given the same sort of stuff that Bane usually takes. And yeah, she's all pumped up on steroids. Anyways.
Pump that body.
It's a good looking book. It's a fun read. Don't expect a whole lot from it, though. Great cover. I love the cover.
That's a 3D effect right there, Chris.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool cover, eh?
Hey, how do
like
you assign these things?
Very carefully.
All right.
A 3D pen.
Do
they have those?
I like that. 3D pen.
We got to market those. It's, we got to come up with those.
It's a pen that you can feel in 3D.
Yeah, yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention.
Mm-hmm.
Mother
well,
necessity.
Wise words.
All right, Chris, what else do we have?
All right, so next we have, this is...
I can tell I confused Shecky with my
philosophy. You really did.
Philosophy.
Really did. So next up we've got The Death of Wolverine, Part the Second.
Part Deux.
Part Deux. Part Two of Four. And this is by...
Hey, Part One came out last week or something.
Yeah, I know. It came out last week, and then all of a sudden now they've got Part Two coming out.
Wow.
Anyways, Part Two is coming out already, and we've got... this is, of course, by Charles Soule.
Chris,
and
does he die in that one? Tell us.
I don't want to give away
too much. If
he
died in the second one, what would happen in three and four?
The epilogue.
Just the funeral process and the...
Yeah.
I don't want to give away too
much. The lamentation of the women.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Ah, yes, the lamentation of the women.
Okay,
but
so,
it's, you know what? It's got all your favorite characters. It's got you know, Sabretooth and Wolverine, and it's got
Deadshot in it.
Flashback type things on it.
You know what's important about this one, Chris?
What's that?
Is that you seem to be honing right in on these terrible marketing ploys and trends.
Well,
you picked a 3D cover, and now you're holding a
holofoil.
Death of Wolverine.
You know, okay, so
that's
was,
a good looking book.
So
though.
It is a good looking book.
Check the eyes out. Do you see the eyes?
I know, it's cool. It's like they'll always follow you no matter
where
you
do.
Go.
Chris, when you go to like conventions and stuff and get sketches by artists, do you tell them to do it on a shiny piece of tinfoil
too?
Yes. Is that what you do?
Yeah. Because I'm attracted to shiny things.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Hey, look, buddy, I brought my lathe with me. Can you just etch it in?
Just etch that in for me.
Sure, would appreciate it.
You know, so here's the thing. Clearly, the early 90s are back because variant covers are selling well.
Yeah. I can tell what your wardrobe you're wearing tonight, too.
I have a. What are you trying to say? What's wrong with my hot pink and lavender shirt?
Early 90s. Nice.
You know, but the early 90s, gimmick comics are back. Mm-hmm. Variants and holofoil covers and 3D lenticular covers and 3D stuff. It's all big gimmicks, but you know what? At least they look good. I gotta give them that.
And remember, Chris, it's better to look good than to feel good.
That is very true.
Yeah, you know what? Well, isn't, you know, hearken back.
Hark. Oh, sorry, it's hark.
To DC's... 3D month,
about
a year ago?
About a year ago, yeah.
And it was a massive success.
Yes, huge.
So from
success.
A marketing standpoint, from a publisher,
yes,
saying,
absolutely.
Hey, man, like we did so well on these 3D covers,
yep.
Let's do it again sometime.
And that's why they've done this whole Futures End, New 52.
So what we need as a collective, except at the Big B comic shops, of course, we need not to buy these things to send a signal to the publishers that, hey, listen, we're not into gimmicks.
Yeah.
Don't try to sell us on gimmicks.
You're right. And, oh, this one actually even has like a 3D effect. Like if you turn the,
so did the other one.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
That's all right.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
I don't notice much these days. So the last book I have in my hands here is Justice League United. Now, this is, of course, the one that's sort of like kind of Canadian.
Justice League Canada.
Yeah, Justice League Canada. They've got the little Canadian leaf.
Because as Canadians, we are united.
Yes. And, of course, you know, I wonder, are people who actually are from Canada writing this stuff? Well, let's see. Oh, Jeff Lemire, he's from Canada.
Yes,
so that's
he is.
Good.
From
yeah.
Southern Ontario
yeah.
boy.
So he knows what he's talking about. Because I often wonder if they just sort of pick names out of a
Well, you know
a
what? You're leafing through that book.
Yeah.
And I saw a polar bear.
Yes.
And I immediately lost interest.
Yeah, well, Justice League America fights polar bears.
You know, because it's Canada and they throw a polar bear. And it kind of makes you mad in a way.
But if you look closely, it's a polar bear that has like some sort of weird brain to it. So it's not just any polar bear.
It's still a polar bear in the snow.
Okay. I'm just saying.
All right. Hey, listen, that's Justice League United. One shot. It's available at your local comic book shop today, as are... A myriad of other
comics.
So check out.
And there's lots of those 3D kind of covers. So if you like that thing, if you're into shiny little objects and things like that, this is certainly the place to be for sure. Now, listen, before we go to our musical interlude, I do have to give a quick shout out. As you know, I teach at Mohawk College.
Mm-hmm.
Try to teach.
So I found out yesterday that one of my the students, they have roommates, right?
Uh-huh.
So apparently there's either four or five guys that all live in this one house, and
I don't like where this is going.
No, it gets good. It's
oh,
good.
Okay.
It gets right. good.
Do they ask you to be part of their frat?
No,
Chris?
No. Chug,
Chris, can you be our den mother?
Chug,
can
chug.
You, can chug. You buy our booze for us, man?
Chris, like we'll wait around the corner.
Yeah.
Dude, you're gonna hook us
I
up.
I would, but I'm on probation.
Anyways, I found out that in this house, my student said that in his house, two of his roommates listened to our show.
Get out.
Yeah. So I'm just going to give a quick shout out to those two roommates.
Hey, guys.
Great to know that you guys are listening to the show. And, of course, when we were making fun of students, we weren't making fun of you.
Yeah. Mm. And also let them know if the other two start listening to the show, then you will buy them beer. Right, Chris?
Anyways, so hey. Listen, let's go on to a quick musical interlude. What do you got for us there, Shecky?
Some of that good old Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen, let's hear it.
Now who's the man behind the man, behind the mighty Superman? Oh, who's the guy he can rely on?
Right, Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy boy,
Mama Olsen's pride and joy.
Hey, that's good stuff. That's Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen.
By Rosemary Clooney.
Yes.
Hey,
it's
let's get into industry news, and I think our producer has a
sponsor. Do we have
sponsor.
A sponsor?
Always, you guys.
Oh, always.
We have
Sorry.
To make a couple bucks stay on the air.
Yeah.
Always is our sponsor?
Oh.
With wings?
For the.
Okay, so.
Like the Falcon.
Industry news.
Industry news is brought to you by Always Wings for the Falcon.
You know what? We got to play that improv game where someone says a word and then you say the first word that comes to mind and then you make a story where it's just a word off.
Yes.
And it ends up terrible.
I think we just did that.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
All right. So, anyway. Industry news alongside Always. Also brought to you by comic book frat houses, where initiations typically include reciting all comic book movies in chronological order.
That's true. That's very true.
That could be nasty. That's one nasty night there.
That is. Mm-hmm. That is. All right.
All right.
Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about we're all three of us are veterans of the Fan Expo.
Yes, we all went to Fan Expo not this past weekend, the weekend before.
Yeah.
We weren't around this last weekend because McMaster was doing their on-site, on-air, live broadcasting all week, and unfortunately we weren't able to be there, so here we are.
I don't think we were invited.
Yeah, I think we were conveniently misplaced in the list of invitees.
Hey, listen, so the show broke a record for attendance.
What was it?
I don't know. They posted that the attendance.
This thing on.
They posted that the attendance record was broken, and I emailed them for exact figures, and they said that they were tabulating, that they would get back to me, which they haven't got back to me yet. But they are certain that they broke a record. So.
All right. So now we're like 120,000.
120-ish, I would say. It was busier than last year. I think you'll agree.
Yeah, it was very busy.
So that puts Toronto Fan Expo up there with New York and San Diego in terms of busy cons.
Yep.
Busy.
You know, I went on the Friday and Saturday, and so now if you haven't gone to this show before, there it used to be in one giant hall, and now it's in two giant halls.
Yeah.
Really, it's got all the stars and all the movie and TV stuff sort of in one section, and it's got all the comic book and video game and anime stuff in another section.
Yeah,
and it's massive. Like
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculously huge now. Now
I know a vendor that had I know two actually vendors that had a booth on each center.
I don't blame them. Yeah,
and on the Saturday it would take a half hour to get there because of the crowds.
Yes, you know I walked in a little bit late on the Friday and it took me forever to get from the entrance to the show itself. And hopefully, you know what? Hopefully they can kind of guide that stuff a little bit better.
Your overall view on the show on
great show. I loved it. As usual, I thought it was a really good show. Uh-huh. I thought it was really busy. You know, I didn't see a whole lot there that I hadn't seen before.
Right.
But then I think I may have missed some things. I've seen people's pictures of things. And uh-huh. Like, oh, I don't remember seeing that. I don't remember. So you know what? Maybe it's just too big. I didn't get a chance to see everything.
Right on.
Yeah. The one thing that I heard that made me contemplate the most about the show, and so they split it into two halls, like you said, right? So you got all the cosplay, all the Star Wars 501st, and all that, and a lot of that. That's sort of exactly like you said, yep. Celebrity movie stuff. So they're selling, you know, picture stills and stuff in the smaller North Building, right?
Yep.
All the retail stuff and commercial stuff's kind of kept in the South Building. So what happens, though, is as certain celebrities appear, because some of them are only there for 3 hours of the Saturday or the Sunday, like, you know, your Patrick Stewart's and William Shatner.
Yeah.
Massive waves of people are trying to go back and forth and are absolutely clogging the skyway walkway sort of between both the places. And then it ends up when the mass finally arrives there. I guess in the North Building they had air conditioning issues.
Oh,
so on
really?
The Saturday and Sunday when they had the biggest stars there doing all their signings and stuff, you know, on top of a 3 hour wait, they couldn't handle it. It was absolutely shoulder to shoulder capacity in lines for 3 hours. I think there was a security guard, I guess, who passed along some information. I think they had 80-something medical issues due to heat exhaustion and dehydration alone.
Hey, kid, we not only get to meet William Shatner, mm-hmm. we get to meet a sweaty William
Shatner. We get to go for a ride in an ambulance.
Yes.
People were literally passing out in lines waiting.
It was a busy day, a really busy day. Now, interestingly enough, I don't know – I don't want to get into figures, but, you know – I'm interested to find out now that – okay, so now the show is basically in two giant halls.
Yeah.
But the show can't double in capacity in people being there, even though it's in two giant halls.
Right.
I'm wondering how – are vendors seeing their dollar – let's say they would normally get $10 per person, maybe mm-hmm. on average or something. Mm-hmm. You know, is that $10 now down to $8 because there's so many more vendors?
Well, speaking as a vendor, I think from last year, which was a banner year, our best year ever.
Yeah.
We did, I think, 4% less.
Okay.
But I think that was a reflection because a large pocket of our revenue comes from old comics.
Right.
And that was a reflection of us not sourcing a really good old comic collection right before the con, which we did last year.
Right.
So you're as good as what you bring. So all things considered, we had a healthy, healthy con.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's
so
good.
We didn't really notice, except for that bucket where, you know, old comic money, which we still did well at, but we didn't do as well as we did last year.
Right. Okay.
But we didn't bring the stuff we did last year, and we didn't outlay the money that we did last year. I would say it was just as good, if not better.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
All right. So I got – we went all to the raid party.
Yep.
The raid – explain what the raid party is.
So
Friday night, invite only.
Am I explaining this or are you explaining this?
Sorry.
He's right. Excited.
I know. So basically, on the Friday night, there's an invite-only show.
Thanks, Chris.
At a social club.
Yes.
Where
private.
A private social club mm-hmm. where artists and attendees and like-minded people VIP people are there. Uh-huh. So we were fortunate enough to be invited.
You, myself, Shecky, and one Dave Campbell.
Yes.
Who came along. And so we went in and we're schmoozing. Now, you know, we're dressed. You were dressed. You were looking pretty good, Chris.
I try to.
Yeah.
You know, I try.
And so we were all, you know, you get dressed up to these things.
Yep, that's true. You looked very good too,
thanks,
by the way.
Chris, yeah. Thank you. And we're all dressed up and we're having a good time. We walk in there. Who's the Brissom? Ed Brissom? The writer? I think he is. Comic book writer.
Okay, I figured.
He's not a poet laureate.
No,
okay?
I get that. I don't know.
We met him. There's a whole bunch of people. Okay. We were having a good time.
Part of me doesn't remember certain parts about that night because I had a couple drinks.
Yeah.
Soda pops.
Yeah. So I have to explain.
I remember talking to Michael Cho at the beginning.
Michael Cho,
of the night,
yeah.
And
who
sorry,
else?
Go ahead.
Who else?
I talked to Eric Vedder a long time. Yeah, I talked to, of course,
Anthony Falcone.
Anthony Falcone.
Who used to be.
Yep.
he used to be one of the producers of this show. But then he moved on, graduated.
Mm-hmm.
Francis Manapul was there. We said hi to him. Ramon Perez, those guys, Kalman Andrusovsky. They were all there. But the best part of the night. Well, I'm enjoying a nice beverage.
Yeah.
And chit-chatting with somebody. And all of a sudden, Chris Owen comes and taps me on and goes, whoa, oh my, hey, your countryman is back there. We got to go see. We got to go buy him a drink and have a toast. I go, who? He goes, Esad Ribic is there. I go, oh, I love Esad Ribic. Esad Ribic is a great artist. He did my favorite miniseries he did was the Loki one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All kind of painted watercolors. Yeah. He's a master.
Yeah,
Ribic
he's
is
amazing.
Just oozing with talent.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Esad Ribic is a big man.
Yes.
He's a big man.
Big man.
He's tall. He's wide. He's a big man. He enjoys his beverages.
Yes, he does.
Go ahead.
Now, remember, I came up to you and, you said, well, what should we get him? And I said,
yeah, you said vodkas.
He said, I think he drinks vodka.
Which I'm stupid because I go, what are you talking about? I go, he's from the Balkans. We don't drink vodka from the Balkans. We drink cognac. So let's go get him a cognac. So Chris goes, all right, I'll go get three cognacs. So
I think I said it just like that.
Yeah. Now Chris goes and gets
like
three cognacs.
Like
and he
$85.
Rings. Okay, Walt, let's go. So we're all like going like kids, really, us two. we got three drinks, like two idiots, right? And he's sitting down talking to some guy. So we get the courage. We go up. Hey, and I say in the native tongue, I say, hey, I said, big fan.
Yeah.
You know, I tell him my name. He goes, oh, appreciate it. I go, hey, we bought you some drinks. And I handed him a cognac. Or I'm attempting to hand him a cognac. So my hand is out, extended with the cognac right in front of his face. So he looks at it. He looks up at us and he goes, I'm going to do an expletive.
Yeah.
I'll use the Scottish word for it. He goes, I don't drink this shite. And then he basically just turns around and starts talking to his buddy again.
He turned his back on us.
So me and you are looking at each other all awkward.
Like, what do we do now?
What do we do now? Like, we look like morons and absolute idiots, right? So what I wanted to do is I wanted to throw the flipping cognac right in his face.
I know.
And say, hey, how you liking the cognac now, pal? But, you know, he's way bigger than me, so it's too chicken.
Yeah.
So I think what we did is we had a toast.
Yes.
And we laughed it off.
Yeah, we did.
And we walked away. And I think you snuck in that second one, if I didn't notice.
You mean of the three?
Of the three.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
So, Mr. Ribic, thank you for your generous.
thank you for the extra drink.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was a great experience.
That was a great experience. Yeah, so you know, there's always some sort of story that goes along with any kind of convention, and I think that's the story of that particular convention.
Yeah, the Mr. Ribic and the Mr. Ribic's douche.
We weren't planning on that happening. You know, all we wanted to do was say,
I'm sure it was a misunderstanding.
Yes,
he thought we turned away.
I'm sure he's a very nice man. I'm sure he is.
And he thought we turned away. He honestly thought we were going back to get vodka.
Right. That's
because
what
he said,
was.
I drink vodka.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? So.
And then, he's probably mad at us still for not
going
back. Yeah,
where the hell are those guys?
Yeah. Still
he feels cheated and jaded by us.
His beard is an extra 2 weeks older.
Yeah, Mike. You know, those Canadian guys, they came to say hi to me and then they just never came back.
They just left off, I hear you.
All right. Anyway, overall, though, including that moment, Fan Expo was definitely a positive experience.
Yeah, you know, I had a good time. I didn't buy a whole lot. There's not a whole lot that I'm buying right now. You know, I went by Harley Yee's booth, and he always has a great selection of stuff. And I didn't think his prices were that bad. You know, I thought his prices were very reasonable this time.
Yep.
I've gone by other like-minded stalls before, mm-hmm. and where they're way overpriced, and I thought his was very reasonable.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Yee has, and he's from Livonia, Michigan, outside of Detroit, and it's great having a person like him at the show because he'll have things You know, I have an FF48, and Buddy down the road has an FF48. That's first appearance of Silver Surfer, and that's yeah. Fantastic Four number 48. Sorry. We'll all have those common books, Spider-Man 129, the first appearance of Punisher. We'll all have those common.
Yeah, yeah.
Not all. Like, say the 7, 8 good kind of back-issue yeah. dealers. We'll all have those important books that are common.
Yeah.
But Harley Yee will have the stuff you never see one in your life, and he's got it at his booth.
Yeah, he'll have Blonde Phantom, or
number
he'll
nine.
Have Number 9.
Whatever,
or
yeah.
They have Clairvoyant, like all these obscure books from the 1950s.
Unbelievable selection.
Yeah,
that man
has. You know, but he is he's like the James Brown of
comics.
He is
the hardest working man in comics.
He is.
He does about 40 cons a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And kudos to him and continued success to Mr. Yee.
Yeah. All right, listen, are we going to keep going here? We're going to have a musical interlude.
Musical interlude.
All right, musical interlude. Here we go. What do you got for us there, Shexter?
Well, we know after such a heated, emotional story from Walter, only Krantz can calm him down.
It's a great point.
Thanks there, Shecky. You know what I needed.
That's right.
All right, hey. I want to talk about... So I'm reading this stuff. Actually, I did on Comic Book Daily.
Yep.
I did a undervalued spotlight on a cheap comic.
Oh, what comic?
It was Marvel Premiere number 49, the first solo Falcon story.
Oh, okay, cool.
$10 book and yep, the guide. Yep. You know, Marvel Premiere is full of cool, like, you know, first Iron Fist,
yeah,
the
yeah,
first
yeah.
Ant-Man, the Scott
Lang.
Scott Lang yeah. Ant-Man, you know, the Alice Cooper stuff,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
The U.S. debut of Doctor Who.
Yes.
Great
yes,
title.
Yes,
great title.
Yes.
Doc Strange's own title started yeah. there. So, and there's this little sleeper of a number 49. And it was a Frank Miller cover.
Right,
which
right.
Was awesome.
That's very cool, yeah.
But, and it kind of, I got the idea from reading about this Captain America. Now, you're a huge Captain America
I am
fan,
a huge Captain America
So you're
fan.
Reading about this so, in Cap 25, they're killing Cap off or something?
Yeah, killing Cap off, and basically they've decided that the Falcon is mm-hmm. going to become the new Captain America.
Sam Wilson. Yes.
Is going to become the new Captain America. Now, what I don't know if that's meant to be tying in to the movies or eventually going to
either.
Tie in.
I think I read while I was researching, I read the director, or no, Evans himself.
Chris Evans, yeah.
Yeah, he says there's no plans right now to change the movie Cap.
Right.
So he's still under contract for 3 more Marvel movies or 4
so. Yeah,
more Marvel
yeah.
movies, and he says there's no plans as of right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and this though, and what I wanted to talk about with you guys, because yeah. we're all learned men.
Yes.
Oh, the most learned.
Is just this comes on the heels, and of course, Sam Wilson's an African American.
Yes, he is. So now,
coming on the heels of the announcement of Thor,
yes,
leaving the hammer to be picked up by a
female Thor,
a woman
yes,
now
yes,
Thor. So
yeah.
you know, son of Odin is
so,
no longer Thor.
Again, you know, what this is sort of what I mentioned earlier in the show. This seems to be a time of gimmick type things happening.
Yes,
you know, we've got. You know, not that there's anything wrong with it, but there are strange times happening in comics where we have Thor is becoming a woman. Captain America.
No, a woman.
Sorry,
is
a woman. A woman is taking.
Wait, like
that would be really strange.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
A woman is taking.
Hi,
out-
I'm Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. $5,000 in plastic surgery later, and Thor is a woman.
Yes.
A woman has taken on the role of Thor, and an African-American is taking on the role of Captain America.
Yes.
Hey, And so in that line, though, you know, the Thor thing, okay, that's a little bit more left field.
Yeah.
But if you notice, it's trending in Hollywood. You had, what's his name? Ray Charles there, Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx playing Electro, and he was an African-American. Yes. And now you have recast the Fantastic Four movie, and you have that Michael B. Jordan guy, who is now the Human Torch.
Right.
So two African-Americans have replaced predominantly white, you know, characters.
Wow. I'll go you one further.
Yeah, do me one up.
One more. But that was taken from the comics. A little bit different because that was from Ultimates.
All right.
But I'll go you one further.
Mm.
Heimdall from Thor, the first and second Thor movie. He was also African-American.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was not normally African-American in the Thor comics or in the Legend of the Norse Gods.
So we have African-Americans taking over what were traditionally Caucasian hero roles.
Yep.
We have females taking over what were traditionally male thing roles. Let's step on political correctness for a second.
All right, let's do it.
Talk about this. The reason I'm not concerned by this at all, in the sense that I want to explore it from one avenue, is the hero that we know.
Yep.
And I don't think it has it. And I have the same issue, the exact same issue with, like, say, Scott Lang becoming the Ant-Man.
Right.
As I do with Falcon becoming Captain America. And that is that, like, the hero that we know.
Yeah.
Because you don't age in comics.
No.
You don't age in comics.
Right.
So Bruce Wayne always has to be Batman.
Right.
And Clark Kent always has to be Superman.
Right.
And so why not, you know, Steve Rogers always having to be Cap?
Right.
Is my point. So, like, the Falcon's a great character on his own.
But I'm going to cut you off here for one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm
going to
cut you off
for 1 second. We'll explore this.
You're right and you're wrong. You're right and you're wrong.
I always am.
So, remember, back in the day.
Remember.
Batman broke his back.
Yes.
And Azrael took over the role of Batman.
Yes.
Well, hold on. Okay. So what's the difference there? There's somebody else who's replacing the role of Batman. Batman died. Somebody else took over as Batman. That's happening again now. Hold on. Superman died. And then all of a sudden we had four other Superman take over his place.
Okay, but who's Batman right now?
Bruce Wayne.
Who's Superman right now?
Clark Kent.
Okay. So that's my point.
Okay, so why is but we don't know that in 10 years from now that it's not going to go back to Steve Rogers as Captain America.
But, you know, you're talking about gimmicks then.
And I'm talking about gimmicks now.
Yeah, but then why go through this exercise?
To sell books.
Yeah, I guess.
It's the cynic in me, I know.
I know.
But I think
this
that's
is the
point.
Part, this is the part, again, that I disagree with, is can't we make a female character a very prominent hero without interjecting her into an established character already that we know and love as the son of Odin.
Right.
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 Or why do we have to take,
I understand what you're saying.
So
why do we have to retrofit and make them more politically correct
politically correct. There's nothing to do with, I don't think it has anything to do with politically correctness. Because Steve Rogers is politically correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a politically correct Captain America.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with Steve Rogers as a Captain America.
No.
The Falcon as a Captain America, there's nothing wrong with Sam Wilson as the Captain America.
Nothing at all.
The thing I have an issue with is why are we taking Steve Rogers out of Captain America? What's wrong with Steve Rogers as Captain America?
Right.
Is what part I'm not understanding is what's wrong with the son of Odin as Thor.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And this is, again, where I say I think it's strictly a marketing ploy. It's, you know, 10 years from now when, you know, because eventually Batman came back. Eventually Bruce Wayne came back. Eventually Clark Kent came back. Eventually Steve Rogers will come back.
Right. So are they telling us that the way to attract new female readers, the way to attract new African-American readers is to have those demographics usurp traditional roles that were held by others?
I hope that's not the way they're thinking. I hope it's more of a marketing gimmick rather than trying to say, hey, you know, we'll change 50 years of history just to appease
Yeah, or just try to grab a new demographic,
Grab a new demographic.
Yeah, but see, in the films, I think that may have been happening. I think these are too close to similar but different arguments. So what you're saying is having someone replace, someone get the boot out. You know, whereas in the films, like Electro being Jamie Foxx, like, that didn't need to happen. There are ample amounts of Caucasian qualified actors, mm-hmm. and there are ample amount of African-American actors do the same role.
Right.
But why switch someone that everyone has only ever associated with a Caucasian man with an acclaimed African-American actor? I think those decisions are directly to appeal to another demographic and try and expand.
Okay, we're touching on something here, because the problem is if we're going to read traditional Captain America comics that were written in 1964,
yeah,
everybody in there is white.
Yes, you're right.
So something has to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Because society has changed. The people – and it's not like society in 1964 was just all white. Right?
No, of course not.
It was the fact, I think, that 90% probably of the buying audience was
– Well, I think it was 90% of the people who were also making the books at that time.
Right. And that. Right. Everything.
Yeah.
So it skews
yes.
to that. Right?
Yeah.
Whereas right now you have these changes, and they're coming in certain ways. I like developing female characters.
Absolutely.
I like developing Middle Eastern characters,
sure.
African American characters, Indian characters. These are all valid, great
yeah.
characters that are coming
well,
on.
Like
what I don't understand as much is not so much that Sam Wilson's going to be Cap, because he'd be a great Cap.
Sure.
It's the fact that why Steve Rogers not Cap?
Well, but here's the thing. So this has happened before,
mm-hmm.
right? The Winter Soldier took over the role of Cap before.
Right, right.
We had Nomad.
Nomad,
took over the role of Cap before. So all of a sudden, and certainly those changes, U.S. Agent was the role of Captain America. All these different characters have become Captain America before. But now all of a sudden, because it's a African-American character taking on the role,
yeah.
now all of a sudden it's big press.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I keep on saying I think it's just a gimmick, and I understand. I'd kind of like it not to be just a gimmick. I'd kind of like
sure.
them to try to gain more demographics.
But perhaps eventually,
yeah.
we'll go the way of, and maybe this is the best way, to go the way of making heroes like the Green Lantern.
Right.
Where the Green Lantern hero can be inhabited by anybody.
Right, yes.
And
yes.
because the hero is separate from the person playing them.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
can be from any star system, any world,
yeah,
and be
matter.
A Green Lantern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So hey, maybe they're onto something.
You can have Captain America's agents.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely. All right.
So I think it's
I don't think we solved anything.
We didn't really, but it was a good topic.
All right. Good
topic.
Good. All right. What should we talk about now?
Let's just briefly talk about the Montreal. We talked about Fan Expo. We kind of jumped into Falcon as Cap, but we really should talk about we got two more Comic-Cons coming up that are important to us, and we should talk about those now if that's all right.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So we got thanks. So we got Montreal Comic Con coming up this weekend.
Yes.
If you are a fan of comics, and if you're within a relatively small driving radius of Montreal,
uh-huh.
you should try to make a point to going out to Montreal this weekend for is it a 3-day or a 4-day show?
It's a 3-day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Shecky Feldstein and myself will be at the Captain Canuck / Big B comic
now,
booth.
Last year, was it last year they had Stan Lee or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago they had Stan Lee, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden it was like beyond capacity.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting to get what they had.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly they've ramped up.
Yeah,
things.
They're at the Palais de Congress or something.
Okay.
It's right on a subway line right downtown, right in kind of right near Chinatown there. And it's a great facility.
Yeah.
So come visit that. Just Google MontrealComicCon.com. It's a great experience.
Nice.
It's a little different. I like the Montreal Comic Con. It has a little more European flavor to it than the
okay.
Toronto Comic Con,
yeah.
or let's say the Chicago Comic Con. It's a cool place. There's a lot of stuff happening.
So you start seeing a lot more Tintin and Asterix.
A lot more what?
Tintin.
Tintin. Yeah.
Tintin
oh yeah. You
and
see
Asterix,
a lot more
yeah.
Tintin. Yeah. And so it's good, and you get a lot more independent publishers setting up and stuff. And you get to see some stuff in French.
You know what? That's a great question. You know, I just realized, you know what's really lacking at the Fan Expo is a really strong contingent of publishers.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel, DC, you know, that kind
of thing.
Dark Horse.
They used to come. Fantagraphics. If you remember, they used to come, but there was, I believe, some sort of...
falling out
between the old Fan Expo people and the publishers. Right. So now that the new Fan Expo people are in, perhaps
Hopefully next year we can see something like that.
So yeah, come visit Shecky and I if you're in La Belle Provence.
Yeah, I will not be there. Unfortunately, I have prior commitments.
Sure do.
Yes.
Well, that's good. Then maybe someone will actually come and visit us. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And
why would you say something like that?
You know.
Well, no, it'll be a great time. So if you're in the area, drop by.
All right.
And
now,
say hi.
The other show we want to talk about is the Hamilton Comic Con.
Yes.
Coming out in October.
October 4th, Saturday.
October 4th. It's a one-day show.
One day only at the Hamilton Convention Center.
Now, last year it was a big success, so clearly that's why they're having another one this year.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's going to be a big success again this year. Now,
of course, you and I are indirectly involved in the show.
Indirectly, how so?
Well, Mohawk College.
Yes, that's right. So
is the principal sponsor of the show.
Yes,
and my shop is one of the Piddly sponsors of the show.
No, no, you got your big sponsor,
Piddly.
Big, big
in our hearts, Walt.
Big in our hearts. But we'll be there, and hopefully you'll be there. Will you be there in official Mohawk capacity?
No, I'll be there as a lowly Piddly schlep.
Nice.
Yeah,
you'll fit right in.
Yeah. Well, no, I will be there. You know, it's a good show. I helped some of the people at Mohawk make the decision, but I helped them understand that this is a good show to be at.
And, yeah.
You know, so now they're the premier sponsor, which I think is awesome. It's a great way to help, you know, get more advertising and marketing there.
Sure,
so.
It's a great way. We record this show in Hamilton, Ontario, beautiful Hamilton, Ontario.
Beautiful.
And we want a Hamilton Comic Con to be a healthy, vibrant, annual calendar event in the fair city of Hamilton.
Yeah.
And the only way that'll happen is if everybody listening comes to the show.
Well, and let me tell you now, if you're not too sure about why to go to this show, let me tell you about some of the guests that are going to be at the show.
Do tell.
We've got Lou Ferrigno, or Ferrino as he likes to be called now. Lou Ferrigno is going to be there.
Uh-huh.
Julie Newmar, who is one of the Catwoman from the 1960s Batman shows. Vern Troyer, Mini-Me, is going to be there. There's going to be at least four different Mighty Morphin Power Ranger people.
Nice.
Now, here's one of the people that I was not expecting to see on the list. Ken Osmond from Leave It to Beaver. Do you remember what's his name?
Wally.
Wally.
Yeah.
Wally, yeah. Wally,
nice.
Yeah. Wally's going to be there.
Hey, Beav.
Yeah.
Gee.
No, is it Wally? No, wait. Who's the next door neighbor kid?
Oh, Eddie. Eddie Haskell.
Eddie Haskell. That's the
okay.
Eddie Haskell's going to be there. Yeah. Eddie Haskell's going to be there, as well as a wide variety of wrestling superstars are going to be there. Guys like George the Animal Steel, Gene Okerlund. Mean Gene Okerlund's going to be there.
Is Seika going to be there?
I don't think she was wrestling. Oh, a different kind of wrestling.
Different kind of wrestling.
Yeah, Ted DiBiase, Bushwhackers are going to be there.
Right.
You know. I don't think Sake is going to be there. I don't think it hasn't turned into the Motor City Comic Con.
Not yet.
Okay. You know what? Okay, so if you want to talk about artists who are going to be there, as far as artists go, you're going to have guys like Dave Ross is going to be there.
Uh-huh.
Leonard Kirk is going to be there.
Richard Cumley will be there. Kalman Nerdosofsky will be there.
Yep. Phil Ortiz, who draws The Simpsons, he's going to be there.
Oh, I thought doesn't he play first for the Red Sox?
I think so.
I think he's DH'ing now.
Yeah, he's DH now. He's getting a little older.
Marco Rudy is going to be there. He draws Marvel Knights Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Mike Ruth, Savage Sword of Conan.
Marco Rudy's another guy we met at the
raid party.
He talked to us.
I know. Somebody talked to us. Thank goodness. But listen.
Yeah, that sounds like a great show, and it's a show.
It's going to be a very good show. It's going to be a one-day show.
Yes.
So you got to make sure to get in early because it's going to be big crowds.
Yes.
Now, I got to ask you, Walt. Now, seeing as you're one of the premier sponsors, Piddly sponsors,
yes.
Do you know, are there plans to expand the show next year?
You know, when I was in grade 7, I had a science teacher.
Okay.
Mr. Parsons.
Yeah.
And he's all up there like he's part of the scientific community, like he's Carl Sagan's brother or something,
oh,
right?
Nice.
And so go, Mr. Parsons, is there like life on other planets? And his always reply was, his standard reply was,
yeah.
Well, son, we don't know, but we're working on it.
Nice.
So
nice.
As opposed to the expansion of the show,
yeah,
we don't know. But we're working.
Oh, that's great. You know, that really tells me a lot.
Yeah. That was a long way for nothing,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, so yeah.
On that note, I think we need a musical interlude there, Schexter.
Something to kick up the spirits just a little bit.
Kick this up a bit. Kick it up a notch here. Hey, Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. All right, listen. Speaking of ghosts, so listen, dismal week at the box office this last weekend.
Hey, did you go to the movies last weekend?
No.
Apparently nobody else did.
Apparently not. Ghosts, nothing but spirits all the way around. You know, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
So Guardians of the Galaxy, still a great movie.
Uh-huh.
Still apparently doing well because it topped the box office for the fourth time in 6 weeks. You know, it's but here the thing about it though is it made $10 million and it was still number one.
Wow,
that's a rough week.
Yeah. Well, I read it 64 million across the whole CinemaScope.
Yeah.
World.
Yeah. So nobody's making any money last weekend.
It's like the worst opening week ever.
In like, didn't you say in like 5 years or something?
Might have been 300.
Oof.
So it was a really bad week, but. Out of anything bad, like Chris, you and I are miners for gold.
Yes.
And we will mine some good news out of this.
Yeah, so.
And the fact is that Guardians of the Galaxy has legs.
Yep.
And the Guardians of the Galaxy is about to crack 300 million.
Which is awesome. You know what? I would not
dollars.
Have expected that. When people told me that there was going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy movie coming out, I was just hoping that it wasn't going to tank, let alone do as well as it's doing. I was actually talking to someone earlier today, someone who is probably in her 50s and doesn't know anything about comic books, and she said she loved The Guardians of the Galaxy.
See? Yep. There you go.
Yep. So
it's
you know what?
Good movie.
Great movie.
All
yeah.
Right.
Good movie all around.
Teenage Ninja Turtles was number 2 this week, but it's also
but
doing
look at the
very
figure,
well this
But
summer.
Look at the figures yeah. though. Like TMNT was number 2 at $6 million.
Yeah.
Like
I know,
that's
eh? That's
like a, nothing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Hey, hey, it is what it is. Even in a bad week, though, at sixth week of release,
yeah.
It could have been a rom-com.
Yeah,
it could have been
yeah.
some sort of other thing. No, it was a comic book movie
that's right.
that is holding the fort as a top. So yeah. It says a lot about Guardians. It says a lot about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
It says a lot about comic books as pop culture properties.
You know, yeah, number one and number two both comic book related movies.
Sure.
Right? Awesome.
Absolutely.
Love
right.
it. Love it.
All right.
Let's go on. Speaking of comic books, as we do like to do in this show, are we talking about, what are we talking about? Legion? Are we talking about
Reed?
Exhibitions.
All right.
So
in joint venture with Comic Con India.
Yeah. So this is a great story.
That is cool.
You talk about it.
All right. Comic Con India has announced a joint venture with Reed. Now, Reed is a very, like, they're big. They're big time.
Yeah.
They do the big C2E2 con in Chicago.
Right.
In the spring.
Yeah.
And they do the massive New York Comic Con in October.
That's the one coming up in a few weeks.
That rivals Toronto and probably is going to eclipse Toronto and San Diego, at the Javits Center in Manhattan.
Yep.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to grow pop culture space in India to bring world-class events to Indian fans. When I read this, I went, whoa, hello.
Yep.
I'm starting to get this now, okay? Because forever, for a million years, our beloved comic books were the domain of the United States and Canada.
Right.
Per se.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then 20, 25 years ago, we started to kind of be entertained by the fact that the Brits and the Australians would be interested in it.
Right.
And, you know, there'd actually be a con in London and we would giggle at it, right? And, of course, those four countries are kind of the four largest English-speaking countries in the world, or whatever, by population or whatever. And then we started hearing these kind of affluent European countries were interested in American pop culture, like, you know, good German money is going after big comics, good Japanese French money, established economies around the world. And now we're starting to read that these comic books, this culture of comics, this pop culture, wants to break the gates down of all countries, all over the world, and seep into everybody's want list, so to speak. Yeah. And so, you know, the next, you know, forget about the British invasion of America, of England into America. We're talking about the superhero invasion of the world from, you know, comic culture news desk right here.
Absolutely, yes.
So,
now, and I think this is awesome. So all of a sudden now we've got comic book conventions appearing in India. And so we've got the Bangalore Comic Con. We've got the Hyderabad Comic Con and the Mumbai Film and Comic Convention. That one sounds the best to me.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. And of course, Mumbai is the old Bombay.
Yes.
Right. And these are cities of, you know, 20 million people, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Really? I mean, when you look at it, they may not have – they're starved for all this pop culture stuff.
Uh-huh.
Their first shows, you know, if they're like 3-day show, I don't know how big – they're probably going to go big and publicize.
Oh, yeah.
They could all three of them each be bigger than the biggest San Diego's ever been.
Oh, yeah. I know. You know? That's my point. Sure. And, you know, China is waiting.
I would – you know what I would really like to see? I would like to see more of their cultural – phenomenons and their pop culture appearing more in North American
content. You know, Bollywood has done really well to crack, you know, their thing. But
why not? I'm sure there must be some awesome comics over in India. I can't believe that Comic-Con India, who's going to have three events, is just about North American comics.
Listen, it's not just about North American comics. I'm saying the comic art form, the comic medium, especially the superhero medium, was indigenous to the United States, to North America, and it's proliferated and expanded and seeped into you know, the world at large.
Right.
My point is I'm sure that the Indian cultural community, the pop culture community, has embraced it and has morphed it and has created their own homegrown stuff, but nothing that has broken under the borders that I know about.
Well, but this is what I'm wondering. Maybe there's something out there that's awesome that we don't know about.
Okay. All right. But it hasn't come across yet.
No.
So maybe this will be a vehicle for it to get it there, because it's an exchange, right?
It's
not just, hey, you know, hello, I got a comic. I'm from I don't want to buy what you're selling or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So whereas you go over there, and you know, you have North American, European delegates, artists and stuff, and there's an exchange of ideas and stuff, and that's how things start.
Yes, absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
Now the thing is, you know, you and I were talking about earlier, and Shecky were talking about earlier, about the female Thor, the African American
Captain America.
Well, you know, we're about to introduce comic culture to, I'm just going to be conservative and say, you know, 100 million new fans in the next few years in India alone.
Yeah, yeah.
there's no Indian representation in the comics. So, okay, like will their participation in fandom drive change within the industry?
But I think we saw the beginnings of that a couple of years ago. Remember when Marvel came out with the Indian Spider-Man with Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And they did the whole retelling of the story as if it was happening in India.
You're absolutely right. But it never stuck, kind of.
No, it didn't stick.
But maybe it wasn't time. But maybe that was a nice early salvo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Into something that they knew was coming.
But again, and this is what I'm hoping it's not. Again, I'm wondering if that was that just a gimmick for its time, just like maybe this is a gimmick for its time.
I don't know if this is a gimmick. I think like anything. I don't know. I'm going to be dumb. Okay, the Beatles music.
Right.
You know, it's enjoyed worldwide.
Right.
It's enjoyed in China.
Yes.
It's enjoyed in Egypt. It's enjoyed in Chile. It's enjoyed in Portugal. It's enjoyed in India and North America.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think that.
So with comics, though, is per se, we haven't put our tentacles and reach into a lot of societies in the world,
right.
A lot of cultures in the world, a lot of really, really big ones, for example,
right.
China and
I didn't mean to say it was comics in India a gimmick. I meant the whole African American as Sam.
Oh, right.
As
okay,
Captain
I'm sorry.
American,
yeah, know. But anyways. this is a kind of exciting news because what it could spell is continued, engine for growth
right.
in pop culture
right.
for the next decade
because
you have new emerging markets for the stuff that us three no one understands so well. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
And why not they enjoy what we're enjoying?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure they already do. Right. And so I think it seems to me
that they're going to immerse themselves even more
yeah.
through these large
yeah.
cultural events like a pop culture fan expo
yeah.
or a Mumbai
hey,
Comic Con.
If they're willing to already have three shows coming out, or have come out sometime soon or coming out sometime soon already, that's amazing. Right. Three mm-hmm. shows in 1 year.
I didn't tell you this, guys, but I did get the email from some contact in the Nigerian Comic Con.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Nice.
All I had to do was give him my bank.
your bank information.
Was he a prince?
Yeah. They're gonna fly us over for a
free show.
Yeah,
nice.
Free show.
Nice. Yeah. You'll be getting a free show when you're out of money and you're.
Mm-mm.
You know what? If I've learned anything from going into several different kinds of establishments, there ain't no such thing as a free show.
Yeah.
Or a free lunch.
Free lunch.
Yeah.
All right.
Listen, you know what? Unfortunately, I'm running out of time there, Walt.
Wow. Hey, listen. Now let me recap.
Let's recap.
Montreal Comic Con this weekend.
We didn't even say when is the Hamilton show.
October 4th, Saturday.
Okay.
At the Hamilton Convention Center. Montreal Comic Con, September 12th to 14th. Palace de Congres in Montreal, and see everybody at both spots. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone.
Or Shecky Feldstein,
Feldstein. Sorry, Anthony. Engineered by Chris Owen. You can listen to us at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. We're always on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. And see everybody at the con.
All right, listen. Please go and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.